Cindy Foldenauer of RBC Wealth Management joins us now for the Monday morning analysis of business news. He's filling in today for Brian Ford. Hello, Andy, and welcome back.
Good morning, Wayne. Nice to be back.
Well, it was a big week last week in the business world with the midterm elections and the announcement of the Federal Reserve's latest attempt to prop up the economy. And the monthly employment report. How did the markets react to all this?
Yeah, that's right. It was one of the more noteworthy weeks in some time. The markets reacted favorably, rising over 3% for the week and rallying to its highest level since September of 2008. If you remember, Wayne, that was the same month that the collapse of Lehman Brothers set off a worldwide financial crisis. We attribute much of the move higher to the Fed's latest announcement of quantitative easing, or also known as QE2. There was a big stock and commodity rally on Thursday as global investors digested the Fed's news, and hopefully we can talk about that more in a minute. Also, Friday's better-than-expected employment report added to improving economic sentiment, but didn't move the market much. As for midterm elections, they didn't provide any huge surprises to the investment community, as it was anticipating for several weeks that the Republicans would become the majority party in the House. There continues to be plenty of debate on what gridlock means for the economy and the investment environment. I will also add that the number one topic of discussion since the elections last Tuesday is the Bush tax cuts that are set to expire at the end of the year. If nothing is done, taxes on dividends, capital gains, ordinary income, and a number of other items all would be higher in 2011. The battle over the tax cuts represents the first major challenge facing President Obama and the resurgent Republicans, and will also test both sides' willingness to compromise. Actually, late last week and over the weekend, President Obama indicated that he is open to discussion on extending the cuts for another year or two, so it's definitely something to keep an eye on over the next few weeks.
Over the past few weeks, we've heard about rumors of further action by the Federal Reserve, and sure enough, it did take some action at midweek. For the benefit of the uninitiated among us, what exactly did the Fed do?
That's right. Cue up the printing presses. In a dramatic effort to rev up a slow-growing economy, the Fed said it will buy $600 billion of U.S. government bonds over the next 8 months. It's important to point out that this move is not without a lot of controversy and debate here in the U.S. and also around the world. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke embraced numerous unconventional policies during the financial crisis to ward off a financial system collapse. And here we are a couple years later, and he is confronted with an economy hobbled by high unemployment, slow growth, and the small chance of a Japan-like period of deflation. From our perspective, the Fed is attempting to do four things. Number one, drive inflation expectations and inflation modestly higher in order to avoid deflation. Number two, keep interest rates low. And by doing this, it's a favorable environment to both borrow and lend money and also support the housing market. Number three, push down the dollar relative to other currencies, although I don't expect any Fed officials to explicitly admit this. And number four, raise asset prices, which would include stocks. And again, most Fed officials wouldn't admit to this either. We believe the Fed's thinking is that if asset prices rise, households may feel richer and then boost spending, which in turn helps the economy. For investors, the most important point is that the economy does appear to be gradually strengthening. Corporate profits are continuing to rise, and now the Fed is doing more than its part in helping encourage and promote stronger economic growth.
Well, why is this latest move by the Fed so controversial, and what are the potential implications?
Well, first, this approach has sparked a debate about whether the Fed is overstepping its official limited mandate and ought to stop fiddling with the economy and so-called free market. The skeptics of the Fed's latest actions warn that despite any near-term benefits, long-term unintended consequences could ultimately occur. In our eyes, this increases the risk of future inflation and significantly higher long-term interest rates. Also, because of the downward pressure on the dollar, there is potential for currency wars or crises, which could also lead to the formation of asset bubbles in emerging markets or commodities. So, in summary, the Fed has the power to juice asset prices in the near term. However, longer term, we believe there are indeed costs to the Fed's actions.
We have about 45 seconds to go. The dividend yield from bank stocks have been virtually zero since the fallout from the financial crisis. I saw a story last week mentioning that banks might be allowed to start increasing dividends again, right?
Yeah, that's right. For income-oriented investors that have had to combat low interest rates on their CDs and savings and dividend cuts over the past few years, this is good news. The Federal Reserve is poised to allow healthy banks to increase dividend payments for the first time since the financial crisis. Regulators are expected to give guidance in the near future outlining the standards banks must meet to increase dividend payments. Many U.S. banks would like to boost payments to shareholders because they have long relied on a steady stream of dividends to attract investors. Since the financial crisis 2 years ago, regulators have closely scrutinized banks' use of capital and essentially freezing their ability to increase dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Analysts have indicated that allowing firms to increase dividends would telegraph to the markets and investors that the financial sector is continuing to stabilize.
Thanks to Andy Foldenauer. It's 8:40.